Good morning, everyone. I'm Chuck Vest, president of the National Academy of Engineering. And since we're here in Washington, how many of you know why the United States Capitol is located where it is? One person. This is good. Two people. Well, John F. Kennedy, when he was president of the United States, explained that the Capitol had been located here in the middle of the East Coast so that our work could combine the charm of the North with the efficiency of the South. So in that sense of efficiency, I'm here to welcome you to this meeting when it's halfway done. But it is really a great privilege to have all of you gathered here at the National Academies to do something that I think is very important, and I'd like to explain at least a little bit why I feel that way. Back in the sort of early to mid-90s, when I was serving as president of MIT, I got a call one day from a great friend, the late Michael Dertouzos, whom many of you may have known, who was head of the Laboratory for Computer Science, and he said, Chuck, you know all this stuff about Al Gore and the U.S. National Superhighway? And I said, yeah, I've got basic idea what it's about. He said, well, let me tell you, that's not what the real action is. The real action is something called the World Wide Web. This doesn't have anything to do with the United States. What's going to happen is going to happen globally. And there's this guy named Tim Berners-Lee over at CERN in Europe, and he's conceived this idea that he calls the World Wide Web, and this is really important. And I want you to get on an airplane with me next week, and we're going over to Brussels and negotiate bringing Tim back to MIT in order to start a consortium to be sure that this idea can be deployed in a way that it serves all nations and is as openly and, in essence, freely accessible as possible. So, indeed, I found myself on a plane with Michael and took a very modest part in several meetings that ultimately did result in the formation of this consortium that most of the world doesn't even know exists, but is really responsible for the way the World Wide Web was deployed. I learned a lot from that, particularly how an engineering culture works that just wants to get something done and done right and make it as accessible as possible. But I learned another thing. I learned how to explain what it's like to serve as president of one of the national academies or president of a great university. At least the Americans in the group, many others, will have seen a movie, Forrest Gump, some years ago. So Forrest Gump was sort of a hapless guy that didn't add any value to anything, but somehow he always showed up at really important moments in the history of his generation. And I felt that way a little bit regarding the World Wide Web and many other things where I was able to show up and kind of be there, even though I didn't bring a whole lot to the table. And I have a bit of that sense of history in the making here today. Here literally, but also figuratively in terms of the larger dialogue that is beginning to go on and driven by some of the founding folks of what we now are calling synthetic biology. I have to be honest, I first got a sense of what was going on kind of walking up and down the hallways at MIT several years ago. You know, we read in the newspaper all the time about the Arab Street. If you want to learn about the Middle East, you just keep your ear open. Well, that's the way it is at MIT. And I heard all these kids talking about biohacking. Well, I figured I better find out what this biohacking is all about. So somehow I managed to trace down and get Drew Endy to come over to the office one day and give me a little tutorial about what was beginning to develop around a number of institutions in the U.S. And around the world and what this might actually mean. But I have to tell you that from my own perhaps parochial perspective, I am with the National Academy of Engineering. What I really see is the emergence of a new field of engineering. Now, I know that we're going to say science, 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 but this has to do with engineering in ways that I would like to explain, at least from my perspective. For many years now, probably even a couple of decades, there's been a very strong feeling and indeed a number of actions taken in institutions around the world that biology was going to emerge as a new underlying science for new ways of doing engineering in the same way that physics and chemistry and mathematics and computation, to some sense, had formed the infrastructure or the basis for producing goods and services through engineering in the past decades. And what I, in my sort of modest understanding of things here, begin to see is the emergence of that as really becoming true, and that synthetic biology is a very, very major step along the way. Because after all, I would think of engineering as meaning applying design and synthesis to achieve some predetermined goal or execute a desired function. And I think that's what those of you who are working professionally in this field are in fact doing it. So I'm going to greet you as fellow engineers, whether you like it or not. But the really important issue here is that everyone in this room is keenly aware that we are working with the very stuff of life in a way that we have not been able to in the past. And that there is therefore enormous potential for doing good and enormous potential for doing harm. This is what Koji Ohmi, the founder of the Science, Technology, and Society Forum in Japan, likes to call the light and shadow. So what's new? This is the case certainly for all technologies historically, good and ill. And I think what's new is the amazing speed at which things propagate today, in which ideas can emerge from fundamental concepts and laboratories out into the so-called real world. It's what's new is the enormous variety of end states that you could produce by your work. And certainly what's new is the nature of reproduction and replication in living systems. This is, in fact, unlike most engineering fields of the past. So I cannot tell you how very pleased I am to look at the diversity of institutions, professions, and perspectives that are represented in this room. From academia, government, and industry, from several nations and continents, people from ethics, intelligence, and legal communities, from environmentalists to economists. Knowledge and technological capability should and will progress with enthusiasm, optimism, and spirit of innovation, and I want to encourage that in every way I possibly can. But it is terribly important and very rewarding that you are here today debating, considering a variety of potential consequences of synthetic biology, and working together to make the dominant drive of this embryonic field positive and beneficial to humankind. To return to Koji Ohmi's conception of all this, to be sure that the light extinguishes the shadows. You can't fully predict what road will lead to when you start down a path of something unusual like this. I, again in the Forrest Gump spirit a little bit, was very privileged to get to know Claude Shannon a little bit in his later years. And I asked Claude Shannon one time how and why he became an engineer. And here's what he told me. He said, I grew up on a farm in a very isolated area up in the northern part of the lower peninsula of Michigan. But he said, my father went off one day each year to the big city, one trip to the big city each year. And every year he brought me back an erector set, whatever was the latest model of the erector set. And I sat around putting these things together and building them. And he said, that's what really made me decide to become an engineer. And of course, that launched an intellectual career that no one could have predicted, that gave us a radically new field of information and communication theory that really changed the world. So with that in mind, I've been pondering today what in the world might be accomplished by some young girl in a small town whose father goes off each year and brings her back a new bag of bio bricks from Drew Endy. What an adventure. Anyway, thank you very much for being here. I think that you're part of an enormously important dialogue, and I hope that you have a very productive day. Thank you.